The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
And I'm just after spotting as well on Ivan Yates' Twitter account that a listener is going to tell Ivan today that after flying from Malaga to Dublin, it's clear to her that the COVID response in Spain is clearer and safer. More masks seen, temperatures check, and sanitation areas to name but a few. Jess Kelly, thank you very much indeed. Owen Curry, that's a good segue into you. This is Jonathan Healy in for Pat Kenny this morning. Owen, people who think they're going on their holidays, that all of a sudden they're going to get to the land of milk and honey where they can go around and ignore all the rules that are in place here, they're probably going to get quite a land when they get there.
Everybody is the same, Jonathan. Everybody's working their way out of the crisis. The difference here is there is an absolute shutdown, and there's a very, very strong feeling that borders should not be reopened and that flights should be curtailed. The rest of Europe has, following a European policy which was announced on May the 27th and has been in place on June 15, most of the borders opened. The aviators got their plans in place June the 12th. Get things moving again and see how we go.
But there is concern, and we've been talking about it throughout the morning with Jack Lambert on this morning, saying that if you're going to a place that has less COVID than Ireland, they're going to be more worried about us. And as long as you are meticulous in respecting the rules, then you're going to be fine. But therein lies the rub, that we don't always expect everybody to be meticulous with the rules, and humans are humans. How do they try and juggle that with reopening borders and air routes and everything else that comes with it?
It's the same debate everywhere. I got on one of the first flights last Wednesday down to Malta for a turnaround. Malta has no cases. It has no new to 12 active cases, all of which are out of hospital, and it had a total of 9 deaths since the beginning. So they were not allowing flights in from Britain, for instance, because they regard them as too high a risk, but Ireland is okay. So we arrived in thermal measurement at the airport. There were teams of medics there. For instance, somebody on our flight had a woolly hat on, which didn't allow the thermal measurement camera to read it, and he was called aside. Waiters wearing masks, social distancing being practiced, everything up and running, and they are worried about importing cases, and the same debate is there, except that they did feel that the time is right to move, and that the economy is more dependent on tourism than ours. We have 10% of our GDP on tourism. Theirs is more than 25%. Similar sort of stuff in Spain, the whole thing of the crowded beaches. They've marked out beaches with squares. People have to book online, take their beach space, wearing of masks. It depends on the region in Spain, but in a lot of regions, you're wearing masks.
That's not a holiday. That's torture. The idea of a holiday is you go on holidays to forget your problems. You're literally bringing this problem with you, and you have to adhere to tougher rules over there than you would over here. That's not relaxing.
Not tougher rules everywhere. It's a local thing. What a lot of the early flights, Jonathan, have been are people who are long-term residents who have houses down there. And it's not the holiday as we used to know it, Jonathan, but it's certainly possible and doable. And as everybody feels their way, that's how it's going to work. The wearing of masks on the flight is mandatory under the EASA regulations. And The airports are doing their social distancing, just like we do in the supermarkets.
The one thing that markets hate is they hate a vacuum. And while aviation is incredibly regulated over aviation safety, it's not really regulated in this way. There was no plan for this. So as a result now, we've airlines doing different things. Like the holiday that I was supposed to be going, supposed to be flying this day week, wouldn't it have been lovely, was with Aer Lingus. Thankfully, they cancelled the flight, which meant that I could breathe a sigh of relief, take a voucher and worry about when I can fly again in the future. Ryanair, by all accounts, are whacking planes up into the sky, and if you're booked onto a tough cheese if you're not travelling, which almost goes a long way towards ignoring the reality that some people just don't want to travel. The market is ploughing ahead in the absence of the government coming out and saying something definitive here.
Well, the market's ploughing ahead on the European directive, not on individual governments. Some governments are slower than Ireland. Slovakia is also locked down. But we are really much at the back of the pack, Jonathan. And the aviation deals with sort of the prospects of disease. Jack Lambert, that you would have had on air earlier, is a real expert on this field internationally because he'd have dealt closely with the Ebola outbreak in Africa. So the aviation industry has its health standards. It's not in the business of conveying unhealthy people around the world and infecting. And it was pretty well fitted up to go into recovery or a restart phase. Within Ireland, I think the debate got trapped in the change of government. We need a new government to sit down and get their heads around.
Hang on. I disagree with you there. The advice has been crystal clear from the public health officials is don't travel unless you have to. That's pretty ambiguous. And Pat on text has made the point here. By definition, anyone going on holidays abroad, a holiday now, is acting against clear public advice. Why would we expect them to act responsibly when they get there if they're not taking responsibility on the advice that they've been given?
Because the European Union is treating tourism as an industry, as a one economy industry, where individual countries and asking individual countries not to opt out of that. And Ireland.
The reality is we have opted out of it. So therefore, do we go with what the European Union has to tell us or do we go with what our own government is telling us? I know what side of the coin I fall on.
Well, Jonathan, the reality is that while the government has been saying, unambiguous is not the case because the quarantine instructions have been ambiguous and the whole notion about the green list that we were supposed to be given quite a while ago is still hasn't arrived with us. And what's happened is in the absence of any leadership from the government, the people are voting. People are actually travelling because the flights were put back in the air last Wednesday, according to the European safety standards. And Dublin was the 26th busiest airport in Europe yesterday. About 12,000 people going through the airport every day, down from the over 100,000 would be at this stage of the year. But people are doing what they have paid to do and are prepared to do.
As a 12,000, as Jack Lambert said this morning, are they behaving meticulously, do you think? Or are we going to have people who are not respecting the rules as much as others would? And I'm guessing the ones who are, if they are going on holidays, they're not as cautious as I am. And I admit that I'm on the low end of the risk register. I just can't believe the 12,000 people will wash their hands, wear a mask where they're supposed to wear a mask, you know, make sure they stay safe, don't engage in risky behaviour when they're abroad if they are exposed to risk. There's a whole lot can go wrong here. You can understand why people are concerned.
It's the same things that can go wrong at home. It's very, very straightforward. I mean, what are the cases? Travel is responsible for something like 2%. It's a while since I've seen figures, but end of July, 2% of the entire infections within Ireland are imported. It's like it was responsible for a huge number of it because of what's been happening, the coverage over the last couple of weeks and the reaction to the European directives on trying to open up international travel.
This is Jonathan Healy in for Pat Kenny. And on the Pat Kenny Twitter account this morning, we've been running a poll and we're asking the question, if somebody went on holidays, would you ask them not to visit you when they come back? I'm delighted you had your holiday and wherever you went, but stay away from me for 14 days, just in case. 80% are saying yes, they would tell friends or family to stay away. 20% would say no. And bear in mind that those people will be asked to quarantine under the current rules. It might change on July 20th. We just don't know. A lot of questions being asked of you right now because you admitted you were on the flight to Malta. Now, when you didn't get off the plane, have you been self-isolating for the last couple of days?
I did. I had to get off. The plane didn't return. I stayed in Malta and okay. I have been self-isolating and I filled out the locator form, which is a paper form.
And is that a pain in the butt for you? Because, you know, I know you're a travel writer and you have to travel, but, you know, you've now 14 days where you can't leave the house effectively.
It's not that different from what we went through before, but that's what I signed up for. I'm not in the business of flaunting the regulations.
I wouldn't accuse you because, to be fair, you're the kind of man who would stick to the rules if you're asked to do it. Did anyone ring you to see you're still at home?
I suspect I will be wrong, but I think the problem here is that making a decision on removing quarantine, and quarantine has been much criticised, is very, very difficult for a new government. It's very, very difficult in the face of the narrative, which is being controlled by the health officials, that quarantine is a measure for dealing with the danger of imported cases. And Jonathan, every single country is fretting about imported cases. Malta is fretting about them. Spain is fretting about it. You have locator forms going into a lot of countries. You have instances of people who have arrived in an airport from there. Most of the what Europe is coming across is return nationals, mainly because coronavirus tends to be the less fashionable suburbs of large cities where it is the highest caseloads. And the contact tracing is being pursued in all these countries that are opening up their borders.
Okay.
And some countries have actually blacked others. I mean, we were talking about the green list and the red list. We don't really need to do that. A lot of countries are looking at Sweden with their very controversial policy and saying, we don't want to do business with Sweden.
Same with the US and everything. But again, there are flights moving, and that's the problem. Look, we've been yakking and questions have been coming in, and I haven't put them to you, so the listeners will want to know the answers. I booked a holiday to Mallorca on the 7th of February this year, says Noel, long before talk of pandemic. We were due to go on the 3rd of August, but obviously we'll not be going, as holiday and flights being offered to me now are fundamentally different to what I booked. As an added complication, I suffer from hypertension, which I declared on my travel insurance application I made at the same time as the booking, which puts me in a higher risk category should I contract COVID. What am I entitled to? Asked Noel.
Very simple, and this will answer a lot of questions. If the flight goes ahead, you're not entitled to a refund. If the flight is cancelled, it's the airline's job to get you a refund, a voucher, or get you to where you're supposed to be going. If the flight isn't cancelled, you're now back in a little bit of a to and fro with the travel insurance company. Sounds like a good way to go in this case because hypertension was declared. But the travel insurance companies aren't even able to answer the questions because the underwriters are changing the rules effectively as they go along, and everything's being done on a case-by-case basis. That's significant for listeners because if you're turned down, pursue it, continue to pursue it. This will run and run in the courts and among the consumer rights groups in the months to come.
Another listener here says, I was due to fly out with Aer Lingus and fly back with Ryanair on a package tour with a company that I booked online. If one of the legs doesn't operate, where does that leave my holiday? The travel company in question doesn't take calls.
The travel company is liable for the refund for the holiday, but may not be able to refund the bit they don't get back from the airline. Again, this is one that's going to play out. If you're booked with a travel agent or a tour operator, you're bonded. If anything happens to the company and it doesn't survive, you're going to get your money back. And they have a voucher scheme where for liquidity purposes, they will give you a voucher that's valid for 9 months. And at the end of it, you're entitled to a refund. Sounds like you're a good chance to get at least the package part of it back, but maybe not the bit that was cancelled by.
You might lose one of the legs. Okay. We were due to fly to Gran Canaria. I requested a refund instead of a voucher or postponing the trip since we found out that we're pregnant and are unlikely to be travelling abroad for some time. Aer Lingus have told me I'm not entitled to a refund as the flight wasn't cancelled. It was no longer being operated. Huh? So it wasn't cancelled. It was no longer being operated. Do I have any comeback? I've explained our situation and requested the refund 3 times, says Louise.
Travel insurance, good place to come here because of the pregnancy. Unlikely, I'm not sure about that explanation from Aer Lingus. They've been pretty clean about refunds, even in cases where the flights are operating, for instance, to America, where you can't get into America. A lot of people who were initially turned down refunds are getting refunded by Aer Lingus.
That's a flagrant, hang on a second, putting my little legal hat on, right? That's a flagrant breach of contract law. If the flight isn't going, they have breached the contract that they entered into with you to travel. I know there's European regulations, et cetera, et cetera. But if the flight's not going, you're entitled to a refund. They're probably trying to push the voucher, but they don't have to accept it, I would imagine.
take the legal hat off again, because all the laws have been overtaken by events, Jonathan.
It's a very old hat.
It's very clear cut, but it hasn't been applied because the liquidity of airlines is in question. I would go back to the wording of that explanation. It doesn't sound right to me. Aer Lingus have been pretty clean on all of this. As of Ryanair, if the flight is cancelled, you get your money back.
What about my rights when the route is cancelled? Same question. If Ryanair Dublin to Zadar is no more, we were booked in March. Now we're going via Split, which is 150 kilometres away. Flight lands at midnight. Can we claim travel and accommodations as Patrick and Wicklow? Well, there's a holiday starting well.
Really, and Croatia's very, very good lockdown laws as well, with masks, and they're very, very, very terrific the way they've managed their coronavirus. The old EU261 situation was very clear cut. Ryanair had to get you to Split. I suspect that will still apply at the end of all of this, that they will get the cost of their transfer getting down to where they were supposed to go.
Texter says, outbound flight went, return flight was cancelled. Where do I stand?
It depends on if it's on the same booking. If it's on the same booking, you're entitled to your refund. If it's on different bookings, you're pretty much on your own. You mentioned contract law, Jonathan. Very simple. You pull out of a flight, it's your problem. They pull out of the flight or cancel the flight, it's their problem. It gets complicated if you've booked two separate flights under two separate reference numbers, because then they'll say you didn't show up for the return leg.
OK, well, what a complicated world you currently operate in, Owen Curry. But look, thanks for taking the listeners' questions this morning. Stay safe. Thanks very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.